Thank you, Jesus. Come on, is this not why we're here to worship the Lord? Is this so good? I just love whether you got your path got hijacked and you find yourself in Lewiston in this time, in this place, or whether you were born and raised here and the Lord is doing something. I am so honored to be part of what the Lord is doing right here and right now in this place. And we're a part of what he's doing in this valley. It's so good. We're so excited. And I would just say this, I had something planned to say, but the Lord just kept reminding me of a verse, and you've probably heard me read this to you before, but I'm gonna do it again, okay? So this comes from Ezra 3, verse 10, and it says, the builders had just freshly laid the foundation of the temple. And it says, and they sang responsibly, giving praises and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout because they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers of the houses, the old men who had been there since the first house, they wept aloud with a loud voice, and they saw the foundations laid and being laid. And though many shouted for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound. They could not distinguish the sound. Yeah. The sound was great. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord loves making history. And we just thank the Lord in your own way. We're just going to thank the Lord just for a minute. Thank you, God, that we are here in this place right now to partner with you, to see heaven on earth like we've never seen before, that we would see this valley come alive, that people would know that this is the city that Jesus loves. Come on. That the favor of God is on them, that he is with them, that he's never left or forsaken them. That they would begin to understand that they have a destiny in you, Jesus. That there's a hope when they haven't heard the words of hope. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus, that we are in this place right now to release the gospel, to release the sound of heaven. Come on, right now. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, that's so good. Well, before they take off, can we just bless the worship team? These guys are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. So good. So good. Okay. I'm going to follow my notes here because I don't want to get us in trouble. So you guys have a bulletin. Go ahead and grab a seat. Go ahead and grab a seat. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you before, my name is Josh Pilon, and I'm an associate pastor at Echo Hills Church. So exciting. Woo! So you have a bulletin. There's some wonderful announcements on it. We are not going to go into detail on all of those, but I did want to point out a couple, okay? So first and foremost, we have a new website. That's echohillschurch.com. Feel free to get connected. There's a place for you to actually get in there and get our newsletter. So if you're not subscribed and you don't have our newsletter, definitely do that. It's just a way that we can touch point, that we can kind of get information to you and share what's going on here. Again, who likes the 10 o'clock time slot? Is this good? Come on. Those of you that need a little extra time to sleep in, you still get a little of that, right? You could still get a 9 o'clock in. That's so good. And then the other is, I just want to welcome any guests and just friends of this house that are here from out of town. Thank you guys so much. We're so excited. So just bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you for being here. And I think with that, we're going to continue the fun. So, Jeff, you want to come and share about the Feast of Trumpets? Come on. Can we welcome Jeff up? Awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to invite our trumpet blowers this morning. They have a shofar, and I just want you to just open your ears and prepare for what we're about to do here, and I'll explain a little bit more in a minute.
The shofar blowers.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So if you've never seen a shofar, can I grab one of those from you? It's a ram's horn, and we read about it in the Bible in such a manner that, God commanded the trumpet to be blown. And we picked this day, September 29th, very specifically regarding our launch. And what we're doing is we're calling this a soft launch, because between now and the end of the year, we are going to gather like this at 10 a.m. and get to know one another, to discover what God has gifted each and every one of us with. But we chose this date in the fall because tonight at sundown starts the biblical feast called the Feast of Trumpets. And if you've never, amen, come on. And if you've never studied the Feast of the Lord, for years it's been talked about that they're the Feast of Israel. That's a Jewish tradition thing. That's an Old Testament thing. The Feast of the Lord, as they are appropriately called in the Word of God, are actually a gift to you and I, the body of Christ. They are God's timeline for all eternity, because it talks about how the feast will be celebrated in eternity. We are familiar with Passover, which is usually in the spring, and it corresponds to Easter. Then there is Pentecost, which many of us are familiar with in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, but we also recognize it as the day that Jesus gave us the gift of his Spirit. With Passover, we get peace. God poured out his peace over all mankind. With Pentecost, we got God's power. We get his power, we are endued with power, we get the power of salvation, we get the life of him in us. The Feast of Tabernacles, as this season is known, and it starts with the Feast of Trumpets, then in a couple weeks it's Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and then following that is known as the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. The Feast of Tabernacles, the fall season, is all about God giving us his rest. And it is the only set of feasts that have yet to be fulfilled. So we call them prophetic feasts, in that we know Jesus was the Passover lamb and he fulfilled all of the requirements of Passover. Jesus poured out his Spirit. He gave us his Spirit, Holy Spirit, on Pentecost, fulfilling all the requirements of Pentecost and the promise of Pentecost. What the Feast of Tabernacles is about, starting with tonight, because in the Hebrew calendar, the day starts with the sun setting. So at sunset tonight, we'll begin the Feast of Trumpets. And you just saw the trumpets blown. We believe that it is also the time when Jesus shall return. And because we believe that we are called the body of Christ, with Jesus being our head, we chose today to say, Lord, as the Spirit and the bride say, come. We really do want you to come. We want you to return. We want you to find a bride full of faith, full of power, full of spirit, but also full of rest. Because it's a feast that hasn't been fulfilled, but we can apprehend it now in faith. We are to not be striving to get the grace of God in our life, not be striving to encounter him or see salvations. We are to rest in his peace, rest in his power, and know that he woos all men and women unto him. And as we rest and we let our light shine, we invite people to receive what you and I have received, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of names regarding today. And the reason why, again, we chose today, it's because of what the Feast of Trumpets actually means. It is the blowing of the shofar, known as the battle cry. There are men and women who need salvation, and Echo Hills is going to continue to go after them, to equip them in the gospel and send them back out. It is also known as the head of the year. January 1st is our civil calendar head of the year. This year, Feast of Trumpets falls on September 29th at sundown. It is considered the head of the year. It's like starting a new year in the calendar. We're starting a new cycle, right? A new expression is Echo Hills. It is also known as the time of trouble, because when the shofar was blown, it was made as an alarm of an enemy coming, a time of trouble, but also a rallying of the troops. as a sign to the enemy, you're in trouble. Our posture and position as Echo Hills is going to resonate with that. That we have a sound to release that is a sound to the enemy that you're in trouble, because we are victorious in Christ. The Feast of Trumpets in the Bible is also linked to a timing called the opening of the books, the book of life, where the names of those who have given their life to the Lord have been written. So we blow the trumpet. We celebrate today, because if you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. But there is more room in that book. Therefore, we have a mission as Echo Hills to go after those that the Lord is wooing and calling. So we sound the alarm. Amen? Amen. It is known as the day of the awakening blast. Amen. We are praying for the awakening of the church, the body of Christ, but more so not as a local church expression, but as the sons and daughters of God. Amen. That we would be awakened in such a manner that, Lord, we would be the blast. We would be the echo of eternity resonating everywhere we go. Amen? Amen. It is known as the day of remembrance, specifically the waking of the dead. So as Jesus returns, there's going to be a blast of a trumpet that awakens the dead that have gone before us. And they're going to arise in the glory. Come on, many of us are in this place because others built and established this place, not just the building, but this place in our faith, because others built upon the foundation of our forefathers. They labored, they sowed, they gave their life. They have passed on to be with the Lord right now, but we are living testimonies of their diligence. And so we stand and we sing and we praise in this moment, in this season, in this expression, because there is coming a day when there will be an awakening blast. And we are the precursors for it. It is known as the hidden day. It is a day that's hidden because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour in which I will return. But we celebrate it with great anticipation, with great faithfulness, going, Lord, if it's today, I'm ready. If it's tomorrow, I'll be ready. But I will live ready, because it's a veiled day. It's a hidden day. And then the last name that's associated with this day, and there's a lot to say on this, but it's the day of announcement. And we chose today to do our union, to bring us together as Echo Hills, because we're making a new announcement. We're making an announcement that won't necessarily live on eternity as far as Echo Hills. There's no church in heaven called Echo Hills. There's no banner that we'll gather under and it'll be Echo Hills. But between now and that moment, we've identified ourselves in a new expression, in a new way. We are making an announcement. You are a living announcement. And so we chose this day of the Feast of Trumpets, to celebrate releasing a sound, joining with all of heaven and the sounds that have been echoing through eternity, echoing since the beginning when the Lord opened his mouth and Jesus, the living word, was spoken. We are joining with that. And we believe that streams are opening up. We believe that new doors are opening up. We believe that greater sounds are going to come forth. Yes. Not because our name is Echo Hills, but because as the sons and daughters, we discover who we are in Christ. We come into greater revelation about what God wants to do in us and through us. If you've never learned about the Feast of the Lord, I want to invite you out on Tuesday, October 8th. I got the date wrong in the bulletin, because October 9th is actually the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's the Wednesday. But on Tuesday, October 8th, I want to invite you to join us in the Fireside Room at 7 p.m. And we're just going to do a little teaching and some investigation about what really is the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. What is it that Jesus is coming to fulfill? What is he already prepared for us in living these words out? And so I want to, again, just, you can make that correction in your bulletin, put it on your calendar, come and join us. But I want to bless you, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Mike up, and he's just going to lay a foundation for us to stand on this morning. So in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, today that we've heard the sound of the trumpet, that our spirit man has been awakened. It's been awakening, Lord, this past year to the pursuit and to the understanding of things looking different, of things being done differently, of making new relationships, of bringing a new expression. And so, Lord, I thank you that each and every one of us are a living sound, a living trumpet. Father, your word says in Luke 1:69 that when they looked upon Jesus, that Lord Zechariah, he saw Jesus, he heard about Jesus, and it was mentioned that Jesus was going to be the horn of our salvation. He was going to be the shofar of our salvation. Father, we say today that Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Reconciler, you are the sound. You are the horn of our salvation. You are the echo resonating through town, through time, bringing us all into greater faith and a greater understanding of our relationship with you. So we join with you, Jesus, as the horn, as the sound, as the shofar of salvation. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout to the Lord this morning.
That was awesome.
You're awesome.
You are. Amen. Wasn't that great?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Brad, it's good seeing you. Brad is on staff at River City Church, and we're so glad you're able to join us today. And what God is doing. Amen, my friend. Love you. We're going to receive the Lord's tithe and offering at this time. And here's what I want to share with you. God has already promised us, he wants us to be prosperous and successful. That is his will for your life. And one thing that we are going to reclaim and redeem is that word, that God wants to prosper his people. Now, unfortunately, prosperity in the Western church has really just been about money and possessions. But God promised Joshua, and he promises us again in James, that if we put the word of the law in our hearts and our mouth and don't depart from it, then we'll be prosperous and successful. And the word prosper means this, to push forward, to break out, to go over. And what God wants for our lives and for Echo Hills Church people is that whatever has put limitations on our lives, God says this is the season for us to break out, to go over, to push forward. So Israel, as they're crossing the Jordan, what was the limitation? The river was swollen. That was their limitation. What did God do? He stopped the water so that they could prosper, that they could push forward, that they could go over. What was the next challenge? Jericho, a fortified city. It was their obstacle. So what does God do? He sends an earthquake. As they obeyed and they pushed forward, they broke out and they went over. And then the word successful means this. It means to act wisely. It means to teach. It means to be intuitive. And the thought is this, once we break into these new areas of prosperity, we have the wisdom and the understanding how to live in that success, that we have that ability to maintain that. So you and I are going to be people of who are prosperous and successful in our relationships, yes, in our businesses, in our walk with God, and in our finances. And how do we do that? Here's what God told Joshua. Don't let the word of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Yeah. And God echoes that in James chapter 1, verse 25, where he says this, the man who looks at the perfect law that brings freedom and doesn't forget what he has heard, but does it, he will be blessed in all that he does. And the word blessing means this, to be prosperous to the point of envy. That the favor of God is so on your life that other people are envious of what God is doing. Not an envy that would say, oh, what's wrong with you? The envy that says, what's right with you? I want what you got. And here's how we do it, family. It's God has already laid out the plan. We put the word of God in our heart so that we're careful to do it. Then it will be prosperous and successful. How many would love to be prosperous and successful in every area of your life? Okay, here it is. It's no secret. God's already showed us how to do it. Let's put the word of God in our heart and our lives. So as we receive the offering, here's another law that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law that cannot be broken. So if you sow corn, you're not going to get a watermelon. When you sow what you sow, that's what you're going to get. It's a law that we know. And God uses the natural to explain the supernatural. And Paul says this, if you want a big harvest, you sow generously. We get to control the harvest. For if you sow generously, you'll reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And what we're doing today is we're taking a foundational offering for Echo Hills Church. that we are going to declare as a people of God that we are saying we believe in the principles and the truths of God's word, and we are going to sow into his kingdom, and we are believing that he is going to prosper it and makes us successful. So we have a declaration, I believe, and would you stand one more time as we make this declaration? Because we believe that there is power in our tongue. We believe that our declarations have authority, and we are going to declare over this offering, and at the very end, I want us to give a shout of praise as we declare that this is going to be a people of prosperity and success as he desires. Would you declare this with me? Here we go. As we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessings and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. I believe that. You may be seated. As the ushers come by, you might see on your tithe envelope, it still has VCC or Hope. Hey, listen. It's still going to go to Echo Hills Church. So just write your checks out to Echo Hills Church. Jeff and I and our team thought, instead of just spending a lot of money on whole new cars, let's just use these up and save the money, right? So just write your checks to Echo Hills Church, and that'll be deposited this week. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your service to the kingdom. Veronica, do you have a mic? Do you have a mic?
Okay. We talked about entering the new year. We're actually ending the iron decade, 5779, in which was about the eye, about seeing the goodness of God. And we're entering the decade 57 into the 80s, and it's about the mouth or pay. And this is a decade to taste and see that the Lord is good. We're gonna declare, we're going to open our mouths and declare a thing and see it established, and it is about the goodness of God. You know, it's also, we've heard a lot about the new wine, and some of you have probably heard this. I wrote it, the Lord gave it to me a while back. Anyway, the new wine, in the pressing and the crushing, as we'd sang a song about it in this meeting, comes a new substance out of the original, the cluster, the individual grapes. You know, the look changes, and as they're crushed, they become liquid, and they flow together closer than they ever were before. Although they hung together as a cluster, they now are one, flowing easily together, no longer bruising one another. They are one. No one sweeter than the other or fatter. They are blended, as in the blending of anointings and giftings, more power, more love because of it. Many clusters, many grapes from the different branches, but one root. Are you willing to be crushed and pressed out and then poured out for the King? There is cost involved, pain perhaps, sorrow. But remember, sorrow may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And just as a woman travails in birth to bring forth the new life, it is pain and even sorrow before there is joy in the new life that is placed in her arms. Then the cost, the pain and the sorrow is forgotten, and there's joy. Many have labored long and even cried out, deliver me or I die, because of the intensity during the transition right before the birth. But what comes after is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. This is the new wine. Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine, is not unlike this new wine. The wine at the wedding, the best was saved for last. Preparing the bride for the wedding feast of the Lamb, making her the new wine. The best is also saved for last once again.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we're going to, I'm going to invite some friends of mine that are visiting from Hawaii. They just so happen to be in town this weekend. And they've had significant impact in my life. I thought I got this all out last night. Sorry, we were in here praying. This is Jason and Tisha Layfield. Would you welcome them this morning, please? We've invited them to join us today, and I'll invite Pastor Mike and his wife Debbie up in a moment. But when I got saved, Tisha was right there in the room, and she had shown me a Jesus that I didn't know existed. And I gave my life to the Lord right then. And so she was significant in that moment. And then along came Jason, who has been significant in her life and also in my life through their gift and their discipleship. But Jason, his mom lives in Richland. Say hi to Carol. And they're over here visiting her. And Jason had called and said, hey, we're going to be in town on Saturday and Sunday, because when they come to town, they stay with us. And I said, oh, great. And then he gave me the date, and I was like, oh, well, that's like our busiest weekend of the year. You know, we're prepping and planning and bringing two churches together. And so I went and talked to Pastor Mike about asking if we could invite them to help facilitate our union, because the two of us were going to try to just facilitate it ourselves and say, hey, how you doing? Good. You know, you want to join me? And hey, how you doing? Do you want to join me? But it's beautiful to have someone facilitate it. The other joy and the other blessing we have this morning is Pastor Mark and Jane Brewster, who Pastor Mike will introduce here in a few moments. But would you honor and welcome Pastor Mike and his wife Debbie up? You just stay right here. And this is my wife, Jacqueline, for those of you who don't know her. Debbie and Tisha and Jason are meeting for the first time, and so it's really raw, really new. But you'll quickly get to know these two in their heart as they share and facilitate our next few moments.
This is, it's been such an honor. This morning, as I was just sitting with the Lord, my heart began to just resonate with the word milestones. And as I began to just sit upon that word, he began to just take me, and it's just not even a coincidence that Pastor Mike has been talking about crossing of the River Jordan. Because that word milestones, we know in the Old Testament, along journeys, there were milestones. And they marked those milestones with altars. In the crossing of the Jordan, they took the 12 stones where the priest had stood in the middle of the Jordan. And they brought them over to the new territory and established an altar, a marker of that new season. They were moving into a new land. You guys are moving into a new land. Amen. There is an altar. That sign, as you approach this morning, and you see a new sign that says Echo Hills. It's just like a little physical altar up there. And it was just so beautiful as we began to look upon this journey. For us, we knew of this journey in its infancy of infancies before any decisions were ever even made. In 2016, when we joined Jeff and Jacqueline in California to surprise Jeff for his birthday. And he began to discuss this thing that Pastor Mike had come to him. And we're at Disneyland talking about this. And he's like, wow. This is just another marker along that journey for you all. And along that journey, the other scripture that really hit me today from Romans 12, where it says, outdo one another in showing honor. I have watched Pastor Mike. I have watched Pastor Jeff. I have watched in the way they have shown honor to one another. They continually, even this morning, you saw it. That was awesome. You're awesome. That lifting one another up. They not only see the good, they see the God. They see the gold in one another. And I really, it's inspiring to me. I want that to be inspiring to you. As you're coming together, bringing these two streams, bringing these two families, there's differences, but there's gold and God in one another. Begin to see and look for the beauty that he's deposited in these other hearts and lives as you come to know each other in a greater way, because God is setting this altar in place. And today you're going to continue this journey as you discover more and more what he has in store for you.
Well, it's an honor to be here today. Some people might call it an accident that we are here on this day, but we call it a God-cident. Right? It's kind of like this cool thing that I've known him since he was 21 years old. He still looks like he's 21.
Yeah, right. He does.
If you think he is, then he is. But it doesn't act it at all. He has three beautiful kids back there, and they're hanging out with three beautiful God kids as well, and love them. I got to see them when they were just a sparkle in their eye, and then one by one they came out, and love Josiah, Selah, and Elijah over there. Love you guys. So proud of you. And then for me, Mike, would you stand over here?
Sure.
Yeah, and Jeff, come over here. And just for a moment, oh yeah, you can turn sideways so that people can see your face and look. There you go. Just, that's cool, that's cool. First of all, as you guys are looking at each other, I want to say that I love you, Jacqueline. Got to see her at 20 years old. Come on in a little bit closer to your husband, like you like him. There you go. And like you love your husband. There you go. Wasn't she awesome on the stage, this girl? Oh my goodness. And wasn't she amazing too? So I first want to talk to the ladies. You saw this 9 years ago or plus, right, girlfriend? And that's right. Holy Spirit comes on women, and women come in there so gently. Do you want a grilled cheese sandwich? I was just thinking I wanted one. And that's the way God works on us sometimes. But I just want to say to you that, and to both of you, that sometimes we can box ourselves into that we're the pastor's wife. But God has called all of us to be a pastor, a shepherd, a mentor, a coach. And I'm here to say, don't box yourself into that I'm the pastor's wife. Because they have expectations. They should sing and play the guitar or the piano and the organ, and I got to meet their expectations. You only have one expectation to meet.
Amen.
And you meet and you hear his voice and what he wants for you to do, because you're first a child of God. And then you're a child of God, and then you married this crazy, awesome man. So now you're his wife, and you guys have kids?
Yes.
How many?
Three.
You have three, and then you're a mom to these three kids. Your first, that's your primaries, your ministry to the father, your ministry as husband and wife, your ministry as a mom. And then comes this thing called, I'm going to be a pastor to these people that God has given to me. So I want to make sure that you don't box yourself into that I'm the pastor's wife. I got to meet their expectations. Yeah. God wants you to meet his expectation and what he has for you. Because you're Jacqueline, you're Debbie, and they're his beloved as well. And they've got their thing. And for you too. And thank you. It's an honor to be here. I just wanted to share with you that as I was reading Numbers, the book of Numbers, there were 12 dudes that were sent in to a land to check out this land. All 12 came back. They came back with, they saw the same fruit and the same fight, but only two saw the Father.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say, just as Joshua and Caleb walked back, I'm here to say that their breath and their voice have echoed, and they echoed and echoed into this generation. And the two of you have that different spirit that Joshua and Caleb had. And that different spirit is on both of you. And I'm here to say that we are here to see God do, because they had guts, they had grit, they had spunk and backbone. And it was rooted in their faith in God and their friendship with God. So as you go out as friends of God and you go into this church, you go into the city, know that God has already set this different spirit on you. Yes. He's already set it on you. Yes. And you're just a walk, and you come back, and you're going to be those two that are going to come in and say, we're going. And it was really interesting. The 12 dudes actually came back with, we can't. And the two came back, we can. Yeah. And you've got the we can on there. So, Father, I thank you for these two. We thank you for these four, God. I thank you that, Lord, you have given them an anointing, a Joshua and Caleb anointing. They have a different spirit on them. We see it. Yes. We've seen it. We know it. And so, God, I thank you for your fingerprints. We thank you for your echo. We thank you for your voice, God. Thank you for these men, these sons of God. These sons first. We thank you, God, for these two that would go in and they would champion your people, yeah, with patience and kindness and humility. We thank you, Father God, for these two. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Love you, God.
So today we recognize the mantling. Thank you, Lord. And Jacqueline and I just want to say thank you to the two of you for your faithfulness, mm-hmm, your endurance, yes, that overcoming spirit, mm-hmm, yes, that we can spirit.
Yeah. Give me my mountain.
Yeah, give me my mountain. Because when others didn't see it, you kept seeing it. Mm-hmm. And you knew it was there. You knew it was there for your life, for your family. You knew it was there for this valley, mm-hmm, and the generations to come. And so as a symbolic act, we just recognize the mantle that sits on the two of you as pastors and leaders.
Yes.
And so we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say before heaven and earth right now that, Lord, I recognize the mantle, yes, the anointing that's on Mike and Debbie,
yes,
the gifts that they carry, the passions and dreams that they carry. Father, I recognize the differences, mm-hmm, that we carry.
That's right.
But, Father, I also recognize the joy that comes in honoring, mm-hmm, and celebrating those differences and the diversities of the Spirit's, yeah, manifestation in them and on them. And I pray that, Father, you would guard my heart, mm-hmm, as you've guarded their heart in such a manner that, Lord, mm-hmm, nothing but honor and blessing,
yes,
would come out of my mouth.
Yes.
Nothing but gratitude and thankfulness, yes, would be in my actions.
Yes.
And that, Father, the partnering and the co-laboring that you've called us to is only just beginning to unfold and be understood. Yeah. And so I'm thankful that, Lord, we get to understand and discover more together,
yes,
in the seasons to come.
Yeah.
And so I declare that I am thankful. I say to you both that I love you and that I am excited, yeah, about the unknown, the uncertain,
that's right,
the wild ride,
nice,
the corners, the curves, yeah, all of it, Lord. I am thankful for them, mm-hmm, to be in this place and in this moment, mm-hmm, and on this journey. Amen.
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 Wow. We are honored to have you in our lives. We recognize your gifting, your anointing, your calling. We recognize that God has placed you here for such a time as this. And we believe, Deb and I believe, that your greater days are ahead. And all our desire is to lift up your arms and say, run, run. We'll be your Aaron and Hur. Because we believe in you. And we believe what God is doing in your life. We thank you for your insight, your wisdom. We thank you for your heart, for people. We love your passion for the Lord and for others. And we recognize your calling, and we honor your calling, and we honor your gifting. And the most thing, I'm glad we call you friends.
Yes.
We're friends. We are going to anoint, we're going to anoint you or mantle you, or we're going to do something with you right now.
Oh, thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have raised up some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And this couple is part of the sum that you have raised up, Lord. And we covenant with them today, relationship of love. We covenant with them today to honor, to serve. And like in a ceremony, better for worse, richer for poorer, sickness and health.
Come on.
We're in this together. And we bless Jeff and Jacqueline. We bless their family. We bless Father God. That whatever they put their hands to, it would prosper. And Father, the days ahead, only you know, but we have great confidence that it's going to be good. And it's going to be right. And that the anointing on this couple is going to just explode. Greater than they've ever known, greater than they've ever seen. But Lord, it's going to bring in harvest of people because of their lives. And because of their hearts. And so, Lord, we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, you are pastor of Echo Hills Church. And we honor them today with all of our heart. In Jesus' name. Would everyone say yes and amen?
Yes and amen.
Amen. I love you. Thank you. Jacqueline.
You guys, no, I want you guys to just get in a line right here, arm in arm, like you were. I want to bless them, and then, but let's all stand. I want you to recognize right now what God is doing in this place, in this moment, that these are your pastors. These are your pastors. God has appointed them. He has anointed them. He has called them to lead, to guide. And right now, just pray along with me and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of these men and women. I pledge to love, to support, to encourage, to honor them as our leaders. Father, bless them as you lead us into this new season as Echo Hills Church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah.
You may be seated. Thank you.
What was that?
A man and his wife have served our valley for 30 years or so, pastoring, and now they have a ministry, two pastors, and they have been a significant couple in our lives. And we've asked Mark Brewster to come and to close out our ceremony with some words and a prayer. And so can we honor Mark?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I'm truly honored and humbled to be asked to be part of this celebration as you begin this new journey as a brand new church body. And I'm just excited with you and for you. I don't know if you heard the story about the Catholic priest that got up one Sunday morning at Mass and he announced to the congregation, he said, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news." And he says, the good news first, he says, "I just received a call this last week and there is now just one church." And everybody was just elated, you know, in a Catholic sort of way. And, you know, they were all excited. And then he said, and now for the bad news. He said the call came from Salt Lake City. So this morning I've got some good news and then I've got some better news, okay? So the good news is that what has taken place in the birth as such of Echo Hills Church is not a result of a call from Salt Lake City. That's the good news. Far from it. It's been a joy for me the last several years, and I was trying to remember how long it's been, but Mike and Jeff individually came to me, and we started getting together and talking about this whole idea. And all we were doing was just trying to discern, okay, what's the Lord doing here? Is he doing anything? What's he saying? And what does it mean? And then it was so fun for me to just sit back and watch how the Lord was knitting the hearts of these two men together. And then to hear reports about how he was knitting together the hearts of the leadership of each church and the congregation of each church. And here we are today. And what I appreciate as much or more than anything about what today is all about is the heart that Jeff and Mike had, that they wanted to be very sure that this idea of bringing two churches together was not a human scheme, but it was a divine dream. It's easy to come up with schemes in ministry, but their heart's desire was they wanted to make sure that this was a dream that God had placed on their hearts. And with that in mind, I want to share just a few thoughts from a familiar psalm, and don't worry, I'll be brief. Now, I'm kind of representing the Baptist segment, I think, because I'm the only guy up here in here with khakis on, I think. But anyway, I dressed up, and then you give me this shirt and wrecked everything. Okay, but anyway. But Psalm 133, probably familiar to many of you, but it just says how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, by the way, live together in unity. And I believe this is primarily from God's perspective. In other words, I think this psalm is all about the pure joy and pleasure it brings to God when his people are living together, walking together, dwelling together in unity. In fact, he says it is so cool. He says it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. Now, that almost sounds gross to some of us, but, you know, the idea, this is the anointing oil, right, for the high priest. It was valuable oil. It was precious oil. And the emphasis here in this verse is the overabundance, because, it's not just on their head, which was where the high priest would be anointed, but now it's starting to flow down to the beard and dripping onto the collar. And, you know, by the time this is done, this guy's one slippery dude, because there's this overabundance of oil. And then he says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. And if you know your Bible geography, you know that Mount Hermon, that's way up in the northernmost part of Israel. It's lush and green and mountainous because dew falls there and produces life. And of course, Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem. It's way down south. It's bare. It's dry. It's barren. There's not a lot of vegetation there because no dew falls. And the idea is to think of the possibility of dew from Hermon coming all the way down to Jerusalem. It's kind of like that is beyond our wildest imagination. You know, it would be great if it happened, but if it happened, it would be like, wow, who would have thunk? Who would have thunk of it? And so this idea that there's this a concept of being, you know, beyond belief, beyond our wildest imagination. And then he concludes by saying, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. And so the big principle in this psalm is that the place of unity among God's people is the place of God's blessing. And it's overabundant blessing. And it's blessing that is beyond belief. And so I've got better news now. Okay? And the better news is that we can be, you can be, as a church body, 100% certain that God is going to bless Echo Hills Church. Now, be careful here. Be careful here. Because none of us here knows what that's going to look like. None of us here knows what that means, how that works out in practicality. And the reason I say that is because this is overabundant blessing, but it's also blessing beyond our own belief and ability to think and comprehend. But the reason we can have that assurance is because the place of unity is the place of blessing. And Echo Hills Church is a place of unity. And so here's what I would like to do is I would like to pronounce a blessing upon you as a church. It's a blessing that we find in Ephesians chapter 3. And in order to do that, I'm gonna come up here and I'm going to ask Jeff and Jacqueline and Mike and Debbie to come up, and if you would stand here and stand arm to arm like you were before as both couples, or is that, no, facing me, yeah. They've seen you enough, you know. And then I'm going to invite the rest of you to come up and come forward, okay? Okay, thank you. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, as I pronounce this blessing, I'm going to ask you to hold your arms out like this, open-handed. That's a picture of you receiving God's blessing, and I will extend my hand like this as a picture of extending God's blessing. You're charismatic, you're Pentecostal, you don't have a problem with this, okay? Let's pray. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably, overabundantly, beyond anything that we could ever ask, beyond anything we could ever think, beyond anything that we could ever imagine, according to his power in us, to him be the glory in the church, in Echo Hills Church, and in Christ Jesus, both now and forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's that?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is just the beginning. Sorry. No. I thought you were going up one more. We can dance on the stairs all day. This is just the beginning. We want to invite you to join us next Sunday. We're going to take communion as the body of Christ and celebrate the unity. Today has been about honoring and dedicating ourselves to the Lord, honoring one another. And next Sunday is going to be about honoring each other and honoring what God wants to do in and through this place as Echo Hills Church. And so we want to invite all of you back. I know some of you are friends visiting us this morning, but all of you back next Sunday at 10 a.m. as we embark on this journey. But before that, we're going to go down into the gym. If you've never been into the gym, directly behind you in the foyer are two big double doors that go down the stairs, and around the corner, you're going to walk into the gym. On the far side of the gym are tables set up with food. You can create four lines. Go through the line. We just want you to get through the line quickly for food, and then you can take a seat and just connect with someone. You're wearing a name tag. If you don't have a name tag, you don't get lunch. Just kidding. But we want you to celebrate with one another. We want you to connect with one another. If you see a couple seats at a table and you don't know those people at the table, just assume those seats are saved for you. Because really, we're on this journey. It's going to take time getting to know one another. And it starts by just breaking bread and eating and fellowshipping. If you've got to go, you've got to go. But we want to invite you to come down and join us for lunch. Pastor Mike.
So we are going to pray. I don't know if I'm on. You can hear me.
We're going to pray so that we can just start eating.
Yay.
Yay. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this family. We thank you for what you are doing. To God be the glory, great things you have done. And now, Father, we thank you that as your son did, he would gather around table and he would have food and he would share life. It's over and over again, he would be at the table. And Lord, we gather around the table and we just enjoy the food and the fellowship. And Lord, we bless that today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you all.